It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Coming up later this hour, the future of the LA River, much debated over the course of its life. It's just been with us. What to do with it once it was channelized because of the massive floods that back in the early 20th century devastated large parts of Los Angeles. We'll talk about the master plan for the future of the LA River. Later this hour, we'll hear from people who live in the communities that are adjacent to the river, as well as those who've been working for years toward a plan of restoration of the river to a natural habitat instead of concrete channelization, which was done for flood control. But right now, we turn our attention to the LA Unified School District, where last week the Board of Education voted to cut a third of the school police force and use those funds for counselors, what are called restorative justice advisors, and what are called climate coaches. Joining us to talk about what those categories of school workers are is Caroline Champlin, KPCC reporter. Caroline, good to have you with us. This comes out of, I know, a years-long process where there have been students and others who've been advocating for cutting the police presence on LA Unified campuses. But this got renewed life in the wake of the protests that erupted after the killing of George Floyd.
Right. Yeah. In last June is when this really started to seem like a reality that the school police could get defunded, could get cut. But then it did take quite a while to actually, produce action, because the board ended up voting for it to cut the police budget by $25 million last summer after this protest, like you mentioned. But then the details about how they would do that, where they would take the money, and then, you know, what they would do with that money, that took a long time to iron out and only actually got resolved, like you said, this month.
All right. And what's been the response from the district police department over losing a third of their officers?
They have not been happy. This actually, throughout this process, we've seen several officers leave the department. They've lost a lot of personnel. And then, you know, when this came out, they posted a statement saying that this would make campuses less safe, because what they voted on this month was the decision to remove school police officers from campuses. So they won't be patrolling anymore on schools. They'll be off-site and only called in on emergencies. And so the police union said that, you know, if they're not there all the time, you know, kids aren't going to be as safe.
Well, and has the district said how they're going to deal when there are some of the large scale fights that break out on campus, because it's dangerous for teachers or other staff members to wade into those? They could be badly injured. Do they have an alternative plan on who's supposed to wade into those fights? Because there wouldn't be time to, you know, get police there necessarily before kids could be hurt.
Right. So that's where this new position, these climate coaches, come in. This is one of several positions that they're going to be hiring for. But the climate coaches are sort of the most direct replacement, it would seem, for cops, because they are supposed to be the first point of contact for disputes. Like you said, they're supposed to be there to intervene. They're supposed to be trained in de-escalation techniques, but they're also supposed to be hired from the community where they're going to be serving, like working, you know, at schools where they live nearby. So they're supposed to be these sort of trusted individuals that students respect. And what people have told me is that in instances where students are fighting, they would be there to intercede, and kids would allow that because they know this person and they trust them. Someone said, you know, you're not going to swing on your uncle in a fight, because that's essentially what these people are supposed to represent, is like a close, you know, trusted adult. But the bigger idea, besides being able to like intervene safely in fights, is that they would prevent fights by like getting sort of almost involved in like the social life of students and knowing, you know, relationships and knowing the potential sort of problems that could escalate into a fight, and they would be able to alert the administration and prevent those sort of situations from even happening in the first place.
Well, LA Unified has high schools that have thousands of students. I'm trying to think of how many climate coaches each campus would need it would seem like a lot more than police officers if you're talking about building these relationships with students, being able to head off conflicts before they turn physical, that sort of thing. Are they talking about how many actual bodies they're looking at putting on campus to do this kind of work?
Right. So that's actually been a criticism of this, because it's not every school is going to get these new climate coaches. It's only going to be, several dozen. I think 43 targeted schools, high schools, are going to get these new climate coaches. And there's like specific criteria for these schools. They need to have a large Black student population. It needs to be above 100 Black students. And then there's all these other different criteria that the schools need to meet. They either need to have, a disproportionate suspension rates of those Black students. They need to have, more chronic absenteeism. And they also need to sort of have students, proficiency in English and math below the district average. So it is not going to, it's not like, all schools are going to have police officers taken off campus, but not all schools are going to have climate coaches replacing them.
Okay. So in schools, most of the district schools are probably heavily Latino, given the population served. So they'll still have police on largely Latino campuses?
No. They're taking them off of all, the police are not going to be patrolling on any campuses, but only some schools are going to have climate coaches to replace them.
So is the idea that for the predominantly Latino campuses, they're not having problems with on-campus violence that would require either the climate coaches or police?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't heard that addressed yet. What I've heard people say is that, the Black and brown sort of student populations or largely Black and brown schools are the most heavily policed. But I haven't heard that specifically addressed for large Latino populations. And that isn't addressed in this proposal that the board went over.
Now, the district I know did a public opinion poll on this issue. What were the findings, Caroline?
Oh, they are very interesting. So it seems that most students, the majority of students, felt safe having police officers on campus. But then they did a sort of a subset. They polled students of color and found that more of those students were uncomfortable. Still not a majority, but still more than the general population. But then they asked about, would you want to see the police department fully defunded, fully disbanded and eliminated? And no group, they polled teachers, they polled parents, and they polled students, and no group wanted that. But what the board said is that, because there's, a small group of students that has had such a negative experience with these officers, we need to be concerned about that group. We can't just have one isolated group of students so unhappy.
And what have been the teachers' response? Because they arguably know best the climates on their campuses. Are they supportive of the action that the board has taken?
I think that based on the poll, it's split. But the teachers' union, UTLA, has been behind this for a while. They've been pushing to have the police presence reduced for years, even before this summer. And that's something that that people have been critiquing, because they're, the police is a union, and the teachers' union is a union, and that it's unusual to sort of see these two groups going head to head like this. The teachers, it's a little bit more split. I think parents, I would say, it seems like, are the most sort of generally pro police on campus, then teachers, and then students are the least interested in having them there.
We're talking with Caroline Champlin, KPCC reporter. She's been covering this story with the LA Unified School District. And I'd like to hear from you if you are associated with the school district in any way, if you're a parent of a student at the district, if you're a student, if you're an employee of the district. I'd like to hear what you think about this move to reduce the size of the district police department by about a third, to hire additional school counselors, what are called climate coaches, to try and anticipate areas of friction or get to know the students. It's going to be a huge task given the thousands of students, but to get to know them in a personal enough way to know what the tensions are beneath the surface that might erupt. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. With us is a member of the District Task Force on School Policing, Director of Public Policy for the UCLA Bunch Center for African American Studies, Isaac Bryan. Mr. Bryan, thank you very much for being with us today. Explain a little bit, if you will, about what kinds of specialized training or experience the climate coaches are going to be asked to have.
Absolutely. It's good to be with you again. The climate coaches, the most important thing for them is to be rooted in community and have the trust of the areas in which the schools are located. That's one of the things that school police officers often said distinguished them from regular police officers in their minds was that this ability to serve as a mentor, as somebody that students could relate to or rely on. And the more we examine that, the more we realize that having a badge and a gun was counter to that goal. And that's where the climate coaches are going to thrive. They'll be trained in implementing positive school culture and climate systems using socio-emotional learning strategies. They'll use de-escalation strategies, conflict resolution strategies, positive relationship and student voice elevation strategies, with a goal on eliminating racial disparities in school discipline and really serving as kind of a key adult figure on campus, in addition to teachers and administrators, for students to rely on, for students to trust, and to de-escalate conflicts before they arise.
Do we have a sense of when it comes to actual on-campus violence, what the precipitators are, how much of it is related to longstanding gang tensions, how much of it is related to individual students who are dealing with extremely difficult family circumstances and are acting out the trauma and the stress under which they're living their lives? Has this been studied to really understand when we see a violent act that, you know, makes its way on the news at a school, where that comes from?
Yeah, well, the first thing to realize is that the top five reasons that students are charged on LA school campuses are public disturbance, schoolyard fights, trespassing, cannabis-related charges, and vandalism, property damage, right? Not exactly the kind of violent narrative that gets perpetrated sometimes. I would also be very hesitant to label any child a gang member, right? I think that's a heavy label to try to pin as the undercurrent for any kind of school activity. I think what it is it's young people going through their adolescence, like we all have, who have disagreements, who have areas of tension, who have bad days, who definitely have traumas at home, especially coming after this COVID-19 pandemic, where we know economic and housing security are lost among many families in the district. We have a large number of LAUSD students that are homeless, that are houseless, or experiencing food insecurity. And so a lot of these are underlying reasons for having a tough day at school, in addition to being a child. But we know that most of the reasons that school police are involved are things that could be handled in a different manner that encourages youth development and positivity and doesn't start the kind of labeling and stigmatization of the juvenile justice and the criminal legal system.
If I understood you correctly, you were talking about people with roots in the communities where the schools are located. Did I understand that correctly?
That's the absolute preference for climate coach.
Because I was going to ask, then, does that involve cultivating people, identifying people from the local communities, and then them attending a certain training program? Or how I'm curious about the nuts and bolts, how this is going to work.
That's exactly how it is. There will be a curriculum that's established. There are a number of models. The Toronto Unified School District implemented a similar position a number of years back, actually, before George Floyd's murder, before Breonna Taylor's murder, Ahmaud Arbery, who was murdered on this day last year. Toronto did this several years prior, and they implemented this exact same school position. I think there's lessons we can learn there, and I think there's ways we can take it even further and implement a better training for these folks. But the HR preference, the hiring preference, is to seek candidates that have roots in the communities around the schools in which they'll be serving, which is critically important.
We're talking with Isaac Bryan. He's a member of the LA Unified Task Force on School Policing. He directs the UCLA Ralph Bunche Center's Center for African American Studies Public Policy Program, and he's founding executive director of UCLA's Black Policy Project, which is a think tank at UCLA. I'd like to hear from you if you're a part of the LA Unified community in any position whatsoever, if you're a teacher, a classified staff member, a parent, a student, what you think of the district taking this action to cut back the size of the district police department by about a third, and then hiring counselors and climate coaches who are trained to identify potential problems students are going through, and before something becomes a crisis or a violent action on campus, is able to intervene. 866-893-KPCC. Jared, in Woodland Hills, I understand you've been a high school teacher in the district for a couple of decades. What do you think of this move?
I've been a Los Angeles Unified School District teacher for 21 years. It seems to me that being in a high school population amongst various high schools and being friends with school police officers that themselves are minorities, I'm a minority as well, I'm of Cuban descent, it would stand to reason that as opposed to the all or nothing method of yanking out the officers all at a time, perhaps phasing in these counselors and utilizing the experience that some of these more beat cops, as you would say, have the experience working in and being familiar with the relationships, the gang situations, the interpersonal relationships, and you know, training up the existing officers to make them ready to handle those minorities that have been sort of discarded and, as you say, prejudiced against, as opposed to just removing them all and adding a fresh new host of individuals that may or may not be equipped to disarm 50 students battling at a time, be the intricate knowledge that they have. It just stands to reason that something like this is a fantastic idea, but let's phase them in, especially with the police officers that have the recognition, the respect, and the intricate knowledge of what's happening in the school districts. Don't just yank them all out.
So, Jared, let me ask you about, I mean, you mentioned fights with like 50 participants. On the different campuses that you've taught, how common are those kinds of violent confrontations?
Well, I'll start by saying I'll point your mind back to about 15 years ago when there was a melee, almost the entire school of Latino versus Armenian students at Grant High School. I was there. It was almost like the Capitol riots. I've never seen something like that. Could you imagine sending in counselors to, would you please stop and listen to wisdom versus police officers that know these students individually. Regarding your question specifically, I can't think of a day when there isn't at least some type of skirmish happening. Doesn't have to be a melee, but something happening. And if we're truly looking for reform and change, I think the best idea is not an all or nothing. It seems to me that a blend approach, we're bringing in these counselors, would be much more savvy than just yanking everyone out and praying that a counselor can take over all, you know.
So, Jared, I you know, the argument that we're hearing is that the climate coaches would be able to help, you know, in the case of Grant High School that you mentioned, help to improve relations between Latino and Armenian students in that case from a number of years ago, to de-escalate things before they reach the level of that melee. And the other thing is that if you end up with an incident that's that big, where you've really got risk of serious injuries in a lot of people, that you are able to call the district police department to dispatch to the campus. Now, you know, that may take 45 minutes, so it may be over by then, but that's the thing. You don't think that's sufficient?
I don't think it's sufficient in that example because you're right. It takes 45 minutes to arrive, and by that time the fight's over, the dust has settled, the injuries have been sustained, as well as the long-lasting anger. To achieve what you're speaking of takes years of inculcation into all sets of student populations. Imagine picking up 911. Hi, there's a fight in the campus. 500 kids involved. By the time they get there and they figure out what's going on, the fight's over. The kids have ditched. They've run away. They've gone home. The dust has settled onto the ground. I think it's a lovely idea, but have someone inculcated. Have them work with the respected officers, the ones that know their job and know the situation.
Jared, I appreciate your call. Let me go back to Isaac Bryan, because the case that Jared cited, Mr. Bryan, might be dealt with by calling local LAPD, for example, where you'd get a much faster response than district police dispatching from district headquarters. Is that the thought? If there's something that, you know, you've got a lot of people involved in a brawl on campus?
Yeah, a couple of things. It's funny because the reason for even maintaining the level of school police that we are going to maintain is because they have committed to responding quickly to these situations. So I don't know where 45 minutes came from or that kind of an arbitrary.
Well, I just brought that up because I figured if it's the district dispatching, they wouldn't be able to get there very fast through traffic. But
they'll be patrolling the entire district. They've got enough sworn and enough resources, still a $50 million budget, to respond much faster than 45.
Okay.
And I'll argue, if we could get LAPD there faster than 45 minutes, there might need to be a conversation about why we have a roaming school police presence at all. But either way, the idea that climate coaches can't de-escalate a school fight as well as a school police officer, to me, is absurd when school police officers cannot use pepper spray, nor should they use pepper spray on children, nor do we want them to discharge a firearm. So their tools of de-escalation are no different than a climate coach. We know the greatest demonstrators of violence de-escalation in all of Los Angeles are gang intervention workers, which have a very similar disposition in terms of coming from the community, understanding what kids are going through, and relating in a deeper way without using the tools of a firearm, pepper spray, batons, or any other takedowns that we see officers frequently doing around students around the country. And so the idea for me that campus climate coaches can't supplant this position in the schoolyard fight is rooted in the kind of fear tactics that are not helping our kids develop a climate that's rooted in opportunity and development.
We're talking with Isaac Bryan, a member of the LA Unified Task Force on School Policing. We're talking about the district's move to cut the police department budget and staffing by about a third, to hire more school counselors and what are called climate coaches to work with students on campus to try and reduce interpersonal stressors, potential for violence, and to work with students who are emotionally struggling as they go through school. We're at 866-893-KPECC, the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. The son of the legendary poet and publisher Lawrence Ferlinghetti says that Mr. Ferlinghetti has died at the age of 101. One of the founders of the Beat Movement, Lawrence Ferlinghetti of San Francisco, dying at the age of 101, including that's from his son who said that. Ferlinghetti, of course, such a prominent figure, and it's a true representation of a loss of that era. We're talking on Air Talk right ahead of the future of the LA River about the Los Angeles Unified School District and its move away from at least the current degree of policing at its schools and climate coaches being hired in place. Megan in Encino, thank you so much for joining us. So Megan, real quickly, you're a student, I understand, or former student, I guess?
Former student.
Great. What do you think of this move?
I think this is the best thing that LA could have ever done for its citizens and the future of this wonderful city, to be honest. I went to Taft High School in 2003, and I witnessed a shooting that was right across the street from the school. I was standing behind one of the three students that was shot. Thankfully, everyone survived the shooting physically. There was some damage, but everyone lived. But the trauma has sat with me since then. 33 now, and I'm still dealing with the trauma that I dealt with from witnessing this shooting at 14. That were working at Taft High School were not present. It took LAPD a few minutes to get there, but that really wasn't the point. The point was that, this thing happened and that these cops that are supposed to keep students safe, they can't keep us safe from everything. There are certain incidences that are going to happen where nobody can get there quick enough. Nobody knew this shooting was going to happen. Students drove by and shot into a crowd of other students for gang-related reasons. And you know, the trauma sits with me. I don't think that anyone could have stopped it. And I think that really what we could have used is these climate counselors to help us understand the trauma that we're dealing with. Maybe not to have prevented it, but definitely afterward, it would have helped a lot.
All right. Megan, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. Becky in South Los Angeles says there'd be many fewer problems in the schools if there was better quality math skills, better quality instruction that took place in the schools. Peggy, thank you very much for that. I want to just go back to Isaac Bryan for a final word. A task force on school policing, LA Unified, of which he's a member. Just in closing, Mr. Bryan, what is the timeline for the implementation of this? Obviously, students have to get back onto campus, but to have some of the climate coaches actually on campus ready to interact with students.
And I know the district wants to move at a rapid pace, and Superintendent Buettner did an incredible job leading this task force and proposing many of these plans. Shout out to Students Deserve, the Brothers Themselves Coalition, and all the students who made their voices heard at school board meetings, in addition to the school board members. But I think the timeline is to move pretty quickly. Obviously, there are some incredibly urgent priorities. How do we get our school campuses to be safe? How do we get folks vaccinated? How do we close this digital divide that has left so many behind? And all of those are priorities for the district as well. But I know this is very much high on the list for as soon as we return back to a normal learning environment.
Mr. Bryan, thank you again for being with us once more. And I'm sure we'll be checking in with you going forward to see how these new positions evolve at district schools. Thanks very much.
Absolutely.